Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio, and we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Friday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Intern Parker has the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along. How are we this morning? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody?
Feeling good.
Good.
Here it is good to be as it is anywhere good to be today. Good to be here. How you doing?
I'm living, man.
Yeah. I just slept and I feel great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you mean you just slept? As in through the night like a normal person?
No.
Because I mean, I guess technically I just slept like
two hours
ago or so.
I stayed up really late, but then I got a power nap in during hour two of three and out. So I knocked out from like 8 to 9 or so, or 9:15 or so. Maybe 9:30. Maybe I think I might have gotten a full cycle.
So you went through the old cycle, huh?
I think I got pretty close to a full 90-minute cycle. The way that you know if you get a full cycle is if you're not groggy when you wake up. Because if you only sleep for like an hour, you're going to have like a headache, you're going to feel awful. But if you can get to a full hour and a half, that gets you through a whole sleep cycle.
And that was talking naps with Cody McClure.
Yeah, if you're going to nap, you need to keep it under 45 or do a full hour and a half. Never take a one-hour nap. You'll feel horrible when you wake up. Just some advice.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm doing good. Doing real dandy.
You good?
I am.
You look good.
Yeah.
Did you catch a shower? You look like you just got a shower.
No, I took a shower last night at like 11:30.
Okay.
What do you mean I look like I just got out of the shower?
I guess it is raining outside, right? Your hair's wet. You look wet. Yeah, you look wet.
A little wet.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, it rained all night. The storm started blowing in around 1 o'clock. There were heavy winds.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like 40 degrees tomorrow, apparently.
Yeah.
Like the high tomorrow is like 47, 48, something like that.
And it's going to rain all afternoon, too, today. It's just two bad days. And then we're back in the 70s and 80s.
Then we're back in the saddle.
Yeah. Just a couple bad days. Kind of sucks that it's going to be on Saturday, but, you know.
It's what it is.
Yeah. Heard a wise man say that once.
Good night in the NBA playoffs last night. You had three game threes. That the series was tied 1-1, and you saw the road teams in two of those series go back in, grab home court advantage. The Spurs win at home in San Antonio. They're up 2-1 on the Nuggets. The Nuggets came in as the 2 seed. The Nuggets don't look like they're much better than the Spurs. The Spurs look like they're the coach with Hall of Fame credentials. Right? The Spurs have the coach with Hall of Fame credentials. I think Mike Malone's a good coach. Greg Popovich is a great coach. And what he's done with this crew, who lost their starting point guard right before the season started, to have them up 2-1 on the 2 seed, pretty good for Greg Popovich last night and Derek White. You ever heard of Derek White before?
That sounds like a name I've probably heard.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Derek White is a pretty common name.
It's kind of like John Smith.
It's not really like Nikola Jokic.
Right. So I've probably heard of a Derek White. I don't know if it's the one you're referring to, but just in general.
They've turned Derek White into a really good player. Last night, big home playoff game, drops 36 points. 5 rebounds, 5 assists. That's a guy that the Spurs and Popovich found at the end of the first round a couple years ago, and they've turned him into a stud. Like I said, they had lost their point guard right before the season. They turned him into an all-defensive-level point guard, and last night he scored 36 points, and it looks like the Spurs have their next guard in their long line of just having players that you don't really think about until they get there, and then they're really good, and the Spurs just keep winning. Last night was a good win for the Spurs. They keep home court advantage. And then we get two other series that got the TNT treatment. Because the Spurs and Nuggets, they keep putting them on NBA TV. It's always the third most important game of the night, so they just throw it at a random time and put it on an NBA TV. But in our other two series, we got some beef festering. And that's one of the reasons I like the NBA playoffs. A playoff series allows storylines to kind of take hold, to kind of form. You had Jared Dudley come out and talk trash about Ben Simmons. Jared Dudley says, hey, I think Ben Simmons is a great player in transition, but once you slow him up in the half court, he's average when it comes to that. If you need to get the ball back, just foul him. He'll miss some free throws, and that'll benefit your team. Says, hey, just let Ben Simmons kind of get his. Ben Simmons is average in the half court. We're not really worried about Ben Simmons. They asked Ben Simmons about Jared Dudley. His reply was just, he's Jared Dudley. Come on. Then last night you had Ben Simmons come out and put on a superstar type of performance. Tobias Harris, VFL. He came through big on the road. The Sixers won that game in Brooklyn last night, Cody, without Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid was out. They were having to start Greg Monroe, who they just got off the trash heap not too long ago, and Boban. Like, those were their big men last night, was Boban and Greg Monroe.
Boban.
Boban.
Who's he?
You haven't looked at Boban yet?
No, is he a big tall guy?
He's a big freak.
He sounds like a big tall guy.
Yeah, he's like, how tall is Boban? He's like 7'3".
Is he from Africa?
No. No, he's from
Boban
Serbia,
Margin,
Croatia. I don't know. Somewhere over Serbia.
Boban Marjanovic.
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 Yeah. It's funny because him and Tobias Harris are best friends. No, seriously, they are. They were both in Detroit. They got traded to the Clippers.
Oh, yeah. He's a big Serbian guy.
And then they traded him from the Clippers to Philadelphia. And both times everyone was like, good. You keep Tobias and Boban together because Tobias has taken Boban under his wing to try to teach him American culture.
I'll take Bobo.
I don't know. Boban's pretty good. He's 7'3" with a 7'10" wingspan.
I don't like the way he looks.
Well, he's not attractive.
No, he's the opposite of attractive.
He looks like a villain, which is probably why he's in John Wick 3, playing a villain. Because he's got that look to him. But that was who the 76ers were starting last night and relying on in the front court. They started Greg Monroe. They brought Boban off the bench. Those were their big guys. No Joel Embiid. No, he's their best player. Instead, it was Tobias Harris dropping 29 points and going 6 of 6 from three. Hell of a game from Tobias Harris. Like, he's in a contract year. And I don't think Philadelphia is going to let him go anywhere. But last night was a statement for him, 29 points, 16 rebounds. When they needed him to help down low rebounding, he went down and grabbed 16, and he went 6 of 6 from 3. There's not very many players in the NBA who can do that. If you think of the, I don't want to call him small, he's not small, but if you want to think of the forwards who can play out around the perimeter, there aren't very many of them that can go in and grab 16 rebounds. last night was a hell of a statement for VFL Tobias Harris. 6 of 6 from three is pretty stout.
6 of 6 from three?
Yeah.
That was Tobias's numbers?
That was Tobias.
Wow. How am I just now finding out about that?
Because you slept through the games last night.
That's true.
Although I would have thought that, you know, as you were burning the midnight oil, you could have slowed down and just looked around and said, oh, wait, Tobias had how many? Wow.
I did look at Twitter throughout the night and refresh and see some things about sports, which I've added for today's headlines.
That's good.
Yeah, so I did.
Did a little show prep.
Did my show prep.
You've been doing show prep for like 10 hours. You better have some really good headlines.
Yeah, there's not a lot of great stuff out there. There's a few things, though. I somehow missed the Tobias news.
That's good of Cody. He can raise expectations while also immediately lowering them. Hmm. Like, hey, I did show prep. Eh, it's not that good of show prep.
It's a real talent that I have.
Please give me credit for doing show prep. Not really bringing anything to the table with the show prep, but please.
Would like to note, I did do some show prep.
Now, I didn't see that Tobias Harris went 6 of 6 from three during my show prep and dropped 29 points and 16 rebounds.
Well, you know what that should tell you? Should tell you we don't care enough about Tobias Harris.
I mean, I think that's, you know, we've talked about that, but also, man, like the NBA playoff ratings, not very good this year. They are down, I want to say, early 26%.
Well, let's get to the compelling matchups, and I think we'll all be there.
Well, I think this is from, I mean, I think it's from, I don't know, it just says 2019 versus 2018. So surely they're not taking the full average of the playoffs, like you say, when it gets a little bit more compelling. I imagine these were first round versus first round, but I don't know. It's at a 26% decrease right now.
That seems significant.
Especially when you, I mean, to me, it seems like most of these series have been pretty good. Like I said, last night you had three series that were tied at one apiece through two games. Maybe it's Warriors fatigue. I don't know.
26% seems like a really big decrease.
The NHL playoffs are down 16%.
I could see that, too.
NASCAR Cups up 3%. The NCAA tournament did 9% better than it did last year. College basketball's regular season did 5% better.
So college basketball ratings and NASCAR are up, and the NBA and the NHL are down. How do you explain that one?
Well, the NHL regular season's up 2%.
But the playoffs are down 16?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's just year-to-date, like if it's just, like I said, taking where the first-round ratings were last year, or if it's looking and saying, yeah, you're off the pace. Because it could pick up, right, and all even out.
How does the NHL ratings compare to NASCAR?
That I don't have in front of me. I just have the percentages.
I bet they're pretty similar.
I'll try to look it up during the break.
All right.
At least from last week, we can kind of get some playoff numbers versus their NASCAR race.
I mean, surely to God, the NHL playoffs are outrating an average NASCAR race.
I mean, the average NASCAR race is getting 3.5-4 million viewers. I'd say it's not. I don't think there's 3.5-4 million people sitting down to watch one NHL playoff game. Do you?
No, when you put it that way, because they're like down in the twos usually, aren't they?
The playoffs?
With a lot of their stuff?
Or just hockey?
Hockey.
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Maybe we should stop considering hockey as one of the big four sports.
Do we still consider it one of the four big sports?
I mean, but we can't put NASCAR in there. Is soccer the number four now?
I feel like soccer outrates.
I mean, in America, it's not number one.
I feel like soccer outrates hockey.
If you include the Premier League?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not just talking. Yeah, we're not just talking MLS, but no, I would say that soccer, for the most part, outrates hockey.
Now, does it outrate baseball?
Baseball is such a regional sport. I don't know, like the national, like Sunday night broadcast. That would be interesting. Seeing if I can find this. Okay, I got it pulled up now. Give me 1 second. Since you want to derail my talk about Tobias Harris, let's see. When is this from? The 4-8 through 4-14?
I just love talking TV ratings.
That'd be last week. Yeah, they haven't came out this week yet. NASCAR, the Monster Energy Cup. Were they at Toyota Owners 400? What the hell is a Toyota? What is the Toyota Owners 400? What is that?
That's a race.
Is that just for people who own Toyotas?
That's a 400-mile race at some track.
Like, is that the idea, though, that it's just a this is for Toyota owners? I mean, I know they race other people, but it just seems like a really weird name for a race.
It does. They've changed. They've made a lot of weird names.
Was it in Richmond?
This time of the year, what is today? April 19th?
Yeah.
I would say Richmond probably sounds about right.
2.78 million people watched the Toyota Owners 400.
2.878
And that's probably, I mean, I guess that was a Saturday night. Okay, I was going to say it's not really fair to compare it against the Sunday against the Masters, but they raced on Saturday night, so okay.
What was the Sunday Masters rating?
The Sunday's Master rating was, I mean, the rating was almost a 7, but it was 10.8 million people watched it.
I was going to say, surely to God, the Sunday Masters rating would be way above the NASCAR rating.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. Four times as many people watched it.
Yeah, good. That's how it should be.
And you wanted what, the NASCAR? Okay, so Sunday Night Baseball was New York versus Atlanta. It drew a 1.2, or it drew a 0.7. It drew 1.2 million people in.
Tiger Sunday at the Masters is outrating everything right now, right?
It did not beat the national championship, Texas Tech versus Virginia.
Really?
Almost 20 million people watched it.
So that's like twice as many, right?
Correct.
That's weird.
Now, if you add up, because remember they did something weird with the Masters where it started at 9 a.m.?
Yeah.
So if you add up the encore, a total of basically 19.4 million people watched the Masters between the live version and the re-air.
Are you surprised?
Which still puts it under the national championship.
Are you surprised at that, that the basketball championship outrated that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, because basketball is obviously the bigger sport, the more important sport. But, I mean, hey, Tiger.
I wonder how it affected it by being split up. Because you would think, yeah, Sunday afternoon, Tiger Woods winning a major versus Monday night at 9:20, Virginia versus Texas Tech. If you'd have asked me who pulled better more viewers, I would have guessed the golf tournament probably.
What's the average NFL game pulling?
Buddy, I don't know. I can look it up, but I mean, I you mean like just like on primetime? You mean like the Sunday night football?
It's fine.
I mean, are you asking like Sunday night football?
I don't want to know.
Well, just, I mean, I'll tell you if you tell me what you want to know.
It's fine. I'll just look it up myself.
Well, don't start moping around about it.
Thought maybe you'd know.
I mean, I could have guessed, but just hold on. Let me try to find it for you.
I don't want to know.
College football bowl game. Come on. Show me Monday Night Football. Did I not go far enough back from Monday Night Football? Ah, damn it. Only like 5 million people watch this bowl game. Hold on. I'll keep looking back. You ask me all this stuff on the fly and then expect me to have all these answers. I don't know everything.
It's fine. I don't want to know.
I know Sunday Night Football is like the biggest show in America, though. Like, Sunday Night Football is the biggest weekly show in terms of having the viewers. Now, obviously, the Super Bowl, you know, is bigger, but it's just a special event type of thing.
NFL games averaged 15.8 million viewers across all networks this year.
That doesn't really tell us, you know, what the prime time's looking like. That's just saying, like, you know, the Sunday afternoon games probably bring that down.
That's what I wanted to know, though, an average Sunday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
I'm wondering how that compares. I'm trying to just compare all this to Tiger.
It is weird that the Texas Tech-Virginia game pulled such a big number, right?
Yeah, that seems way too high for that.
You're asking about hockey, right? Let's see. Hockey, the Toronto at Boston was the highest-rated hockey game of the weekend. It was on NBC. It was Saturday at 8 o'clock. It drew 1.7 million people in. That's bigger than Sunday Night Baseball. That is smaller, though. Or, excuse me, that is also bigger than the Premier League. Chelsea at Liverpool only drew 500,000 people, which is kind of surprising.
The point of this exercise was just to see how much more important the NFL is than all these other sports.
Well, what'd you find out?
That it is, as I expected. The fifth highest rated game was the Steelers-Saints game. That had 24.0 million viewers.
Oh, wow.
24 million viewers.
So more people watched a Sunday afternoon. Now, that was a huge game, the Saints versus Steelers. That was week, I want to say, 16. That was Saints trying to, you know, cash in the one seed. That was the Steelers trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. And that game was a good game. And it drew how many? 24 million?
Yeah, and then the two highest-rated games of the year were, are those the Thanksgiving games?
Tell me what the games are.
Redskins, Cowboys, and Bears, Lions, both week 12.
Yep, that would be Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so those drew 30.5 million viewers and 26 million viewers.
Yeah, that would be the halftime game.
So Bears, Lions.
26 million people. That was the 30 million people? 30 million people lined up to watch Matt Stafford?
Well, other way around.
Okay, 26 million lined up to watch Matt Stafford?
Yeah.
Oof.
So that outrated Tigers.
Please get the Lions.
Sunday at the Masters with the replay as well.
Please get Matt Stafford and the Lions off of Thanksgiving, please.
It's doing okay in the ratings.
It's true. I guess you're right. Every year, yearly tradition, we all get to see how Matt Stafford will ruin Thanksgiving.
We expect Detroit.
It was a nice try by you to derail me, but I'm not going to be derailed. I'm just going to catch a break, and I'm going
to
reset.
I wasn't trying to derail.
I know what you were trying to do.
I was just trying to talk to TV ratings.
Stick with us.
I enjoyed what we found.
Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Trying to look this up in terms of, you got me. If ratings do fascinate me as well. Maybe there was just everything. Maybe NASCAR, maybe soccer, maybe everything just kind of got dwarfed by Tiger. I don't know. But last night, as I was saying, like, you have these beefs starting to grow. You had Ben Simmons and Sir Jared Dudley by coming out, dropping 31 points, 9 assists, and taunting the crowd. You let that fester. Is Chase right, Cody? Are you sad? Did I make you sad by starting the show? He says, watch it on Periscope, and you went from as happy as you've ever looked to just dejected. Did I do a bad thing?
What do you mean?
Should I have started with something that makes you happy? Should I have gotten you going? Are you dejected right now, or did you just get sleepy?
No.
Are you sad?
I mean, I'm fine.
Did me starting with Tobias Harris make you sad?
No.
It just didn't leave you enthused?
No.
Where would you have liked to have started?
I don't know.
Because you got mad when I used to do the story of the day. So I just have taken it upon myself not to ask you.
I don't know.
What would have made you happy?
I don't know.
Did you listen to the new Game of Thrones song?
I really have no idea.
Did you listen to the new Game of Thrones song that came out, that one we talked about with the Weeknd?
Yeah,
and
I don't.
Caesar.
I don't like that. That would.
I'm not gonna lie. It seemed like there was a couple of spoilers in there. I might be looking too much into
about
it.
Power is power.
Yeah.
As in Cersei at 25-1. Hey.
No.
It's her quote.
Do you want to hear what my takeaway is on the song? Because I don't know if it's a spoiler. Surely to God they wouldn't tell these people what happened to let them write this song, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. What's your theory?
Well, the first verse sounds like it's from Jon Snow. Like, it sounds like the guy's talking about Jon Snow. Talks about taking a knife in the heart, blah, 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 doing all this. But talks about one crazy night leading to him taking over and gaining power. I don't know if the one crazy night's the Battle of Winterfell or what, but that's what he's talking about in the song. And then the second verse is by a woman that sounds like she's talking about Daenerys, right? And in the verse, she talks about dying. So I'm just like, wait a second, what the hell's going on here? Are they, like, spoiling what happens in the last season?
I'm trying to find the lyrics to this song. It's called Power is Power, right?
Yeah, I doubt they have the lyrics up by now. I mean, it just came out this morning, right? I mean, at least it was on my New Music Friday on Spotify. Shout out to them.
Oh, I'm sure they have the lyrics up. I was born of the ice and snow.
Yeah, okay, so I mean, that sounds like he's talking about Jon Snow, right? The ice.
I was born of the ice and snow.
That's kind of how he sounds.
That's how it goes.
A little bit.
With the winter wolves and the dark alone.
you're getting a little too Irish jiggy now. It's not really like that.
The wildest night I became the one.
Yeah, the wildest night I became the one. Is that am I reading too much into thinking that they're telling us that Jon Snow takes power after the Battle of Winterfell?
You'll know your mind when the silence calls. The wildest night I became the one. Heavy as the crown, only for the weak. Knife in my heart, couldn't slow me down. Power is power. The fire never goes out. I rise from my scars. Nothing hurts me now.
It sounds like it's talking about Jon Snow, right? Knife in the heart. Rise. Ooh.
Now watch me burn it down.
Yeah, I know. Is he getting the dragons? He's just going to burn everything down and he's going to win? Like, what is happening here?
I went down for the coldest one, and I know I'll win because I played before.
I think this is the girl's voice. I think this is the one that was like, sounds like she's talking like she's Daenerys.
Put me away, I die looking up at your face. How do I ever know? Who can I trust? Feelings of emptiness, only love could kill me.
I guess it could be Cersei.
Could be Ygritte.
I don't think they're talking about Ygritte, though, but I guess they could. That's what I kind of thought, but I was like, why would they? A, she can't talk about, she knew she couldn't trust Ollie. Like, I mean, she can't be talking
she died looking up at Jon Snow's face.
Right, it was like, who could I trust? You knew who you could trust and who you couldn't trust. But I was like, why are they talking about Ygritte in season 8 in this song? Like, that's what I didn't understand.
And only love could kill me. Apparently her and Jon are supposed to be in love.
That's what I'm saying.
A knife in my heart.
It feels like they're just dropping spoilers out here on this song. I'm listening to it this morning. I'm like, wait a second, what?
I don't know. All I know is power is power is Cersei's quote. So,
I mean, it could be Cersei talking about someone she loves. Maybe Jaime kills her. I don't know. I'm just, if there's a woman that's killed by, betrayed by her lover, and Jon Snow wins the crown, I'm just going to say yes that they spoiled this, okay?
Soul swapper, high water, keep your head up, you might drown.
I changed the song at that point.
Well, it's way colder by the day, we count it down.
That might have been Travis Scott's part, but at that point I was over the song. Ooh. I felt awkward listening to it. So I guess we could dissect that. What else you got?
Been around, just waiting up, she gone come around.
What are we supposed to take from that?
I took a drag, busted out the gate, smile, little baby.
I'm glad I turned it off before his verse.
I wore a flag, put that on my face, lift the mask, they're gonna see what they can't erase. I took a life, Daenerys on my mind, danger's on my mind. Ain't no knife, dagger, Arya has a dagger.
I was going to say, is he talking about Arya with the faceless man? Talking about taking the mask off?
Bullet that can do it. Heavy as the crown, but never for a queen.
I don't know.
And then the last lyric to the song is, watch me burn it down, watch me burn it down. Cersei Lannister wears the crown.
It does not say that.
No, but it does say, watch me burn it down.
Yeah.
Watch me burn it down.
Anything to take from those lyrics? Because I was listening to it on the way to work this morning, and I was just like, wait a second. Seems a little strange.
My question is, where is this song going to be in the show? This does not need to be in the damn show.
It's probably going to be the closing scenes of the whole show.
It's going to ruin the show if they put this song into the show.
It'll probably be like a slow-mo battle scene kind of thing, and all this is just playing in the background.
No.
Nothing my heart couldn't slow me down. Just battling just White
Walkers. At the very end, like all this stuff's just burning down.
Surely to God, the showrunners know not to ruin the show.
What does showrunner mean? I mean, I always hear that phrase. It's
two guys, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss.
I know that it's just the people who are basically in charge of the show, but so I guess they're running the show.
Yeah.
Showrunners, okay. I was like, where are they running it to? Are they running it to the, okay, I guess.
They'll be running it into the ground if they play this song during. You can't play this inside the show. If you want to bust it out in the credits, whatever.
No, you can't bust out in the credits either. You got to just play the Game of Thrones music all the way out.
Well, I agree. I don't think you should be breaking out a 2019 song in this show that is supposed to be set in medieval times.
We don't know if it's set in medieval times.
Or in the future.
Could be in the future.
Maybe, but it's going to be weird.
This could be a post-apocalyptic. Did I say that word?
That's right.
A post-apocalyptic universe.
That was wrong.
Well, either way, we know the show's not set in 2019.
Could be set in 2080, though.
If I hear The Weeknd and Travis Scott inside Game of Thrones, it's going to be kind of weird.
Chase was right. You did perk up when we started talking about
that. I mean, is Tyrion Lannister going to come out? Is Morgan Freeman going to make a cameo? And him and Tyrion are having Mountain Dew and Doritos in the last season? We're going to go there. I mean, they can't be. What do you call it? The fourth wall?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. Game of Thrones. They can't be doing that.
Kind of did in season 7. That was kind of.
I mean, Ed Sheeran was.
And just R and L equals J. R what plus L that? Equals J. And that was the big theory. They basically just right on the nose. Hey, we see you guys talking about on the internet. Boom.
What was that?
Ray, what is it? Raygun?
Plus Leanna equals
yeah.
John?
Yeah. It's just that was like the equation that was like throughout the whole show. And then finally, like they just pretty much just the way they said it was what it was kind of just. It seemed like it was like right on the nose of the theory.
But everyone knew about that from the books, right?
I don't think everyone actually knew. I think it was a theory. Like people thought it, but they didn't know it, if that makes sense.
Was that not in the books?
I mean, I think it was, but I don't think it had been revealed yet.
Hmm.
Right? Because, I mean, the reveal is.
I might be wrong. You mean in the show.
Yeah, I might be wrong. I might be wrong. The books might have already exposed that, but I don't think they did. I think people just thought it.
I don't know. That was back when during my inferior days.
Yeah, do we need to go back and read the books? Should we read the books after this?
I'm probably going to now.
I don't think I can, knowing that it's not finished and that it's never going to finish. It all kind of cheapens what happened before.
You can't exactly binge books.
No. Good point. Well, I mean, you kind of can. You could just like read five chapters. Like, I'll read two chapters, I'll skip three. I'll read two chapters, I'll skip three.
If you dedicate like a whole day to it, you can probably get through like...
A chapter.
Know. 10 chapters.
If you're not a good reader. I mean, it depends on who.
I mean, I think your mind can only take so much.
Yeah.
I don't think you can read a full 600-page book in a day and retain it. Maybe you can. I feel like at a certain point, fatigue, you're just staring at the pages. Chase was right. You do look like a much happier person. Each one of your peeps. Parker's peeps. He said he brought them for you. He said he doesn't even like them.
I think Chase was just referring to you being aggressive when I asked about the NFL ratings. I think that's what he was talking about.
I don't think so. I think he was saying you do what you do and you check out. If you don't get your way, you sit there and pout.
That's not at all what he was saying.
Eat your peep.
Oh, he peeps right now.
You double fist and peeps?
Going in my mouth. Nom,
just the texture of that going in your mouth is so gross.
Yeah, that's really bad.
You can hear the sugar.
So do showrunners just like take the final edit to like the actual TV people?
Well, that's what I thought it meant, but I think it might just mean they're running the show.
Mm.
Like at first I thought it was literal, like where are they running the show to? Now I guess like if you do like TV here, like if you know you film something, you have to physically go and drop it off at the station. I keep those away from my face.
Want one?
No, I don't.
Give you a dollar.
I don't need a dollar.
I'll give you $2. I'll give you $2 if you eat that.
I don't want
it. Or pick your own.
There's nothing.
I know just, I touched this one.
I mean, that would probably help the flavor of it. Your sweat and salts off of your fingers.
Probably.
Probably would help.
You don't know where these fingers have been.
I got some good ideas.
Mmm. They're so good. I love peeps.
Last night we had, I guess, a payoff of what I think is one of the greatest flexes in sports. I want to give it its just due. Stick with us to find out what I'm talking about. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I want to talk about one of the greatest kind of just flexes, a reminder of who I am. It was one of the best quotes a couple days ago we didn't really talk about because it was kind of like I was talking about with Paul George, right? When you're hitting jump shots and you're sitting there rubbing your shoulder saying it's fine, it doesn't work if you get blown out by 20 points, right? You can't come out and have a flex and then still lose by 20. Kind of like Jared Dudley. Can't say, hey, Ben Simmons is average and then let Ben Simmons overtake that fourth quarter, score 31 points, drop 9 assists, shoot 11 of 13 from the field. We came on here after the Warriors lost to the Clippers. Was that on Wednesday night, Tuesday night? And we kind of clowned them and said, hey, feels like they aren't going to win at all. You know, I've been saying that I still don't think they are going to win at all, but we talked about them not being focused. We talked about them, hey, maybe checked out. What's going on with Durant? Durant has, you know, only took, what, 9 shots? or took 8 shots and had 9 turnovers, I believe it was. And then on the next day in practice, the narrative started coming up of, hey, Kevin, is Patrick Beverly bothering you? Hey, Kevin, why aren't you shooting more? Hey, Kevin, what's going on? And Kevin gave a really good detailed response saying, look, it's not one-on-one defense. It's Patrick Beverly's up underneath me. They got a guy sagging in from the three-point line and a guy on the other side of the paint waiting to come double-team me there. He's like, basically, it's 3-on-1. They're triple-teaming me. So I'm not going to do what I do and force up shots. I'm not going to make this about me. I'm just going to find the open person. That's what I'm going to do. Kevin Durant's basically just like, I'm not going to make it about me and Patrick Beverly.
I'm not going to get in the way of the game because, you know, I want to have a little back and forth with Patrick Beverly. I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
And just like that, he pretty much diminishes Patrick Beverly, just with the kind of a laugh and saying, come on, I'm Kevin Durant.
It's a very arrogant thing to say.
You know who I am. Y'all know who I am. And then last night, comes out and I think he reminds everyone of, oh yeah, he's Kevin Durant. 38 points, made it look really easy. I don't think you're going to hear people talking about Patrick Beverly shutting him down anymore. Durant was efficient from the field, scored 38 points on 23 shots, 7 assists, did whatever he wanted, and the Warriors smacked down the Clippers. I mean, I believe Durant had 27 in the first half, and you know they didn't really have to play him in the fourth quarter because they were dominating. Then you kind of realize,
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
I mean, it was a nice reminder of Kevin, right, to come out and flex and basically say, look, I'm not going to make this about me versus Patrick Beverly. Come on. So I can shoot over Patrick Beverly anytime I wanted. That's not going to help the team. Y'all know who I am. And he backed it up. Then all of a sudden you remember, oh, yeah, Kevin Durant is actually really, 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 really good at basketball.
Still pretty arrogant. I don't know why you have to trash Patrick Beverly in the process.
I mean, it's very arrogant, but that's what the playoffs give you. That's what I like the playoffs about because we let that narrative kind of build up, right? Ah, man, what's wrong with Kevin? Kevin doesn't shoot the ball very much. Is he bothered by Patrick Beverly? I mean, you saw the stats. You saw Kevin come out, and like I said, I believe he shot the ball 8 times on Monday night.
Durant's got to be the most unlikable guy in the game. I think he's the reason people hate Golden State more than anything else.
Well, he's 100% the reason most people hate Golden State because everyone kind of liked them before. Although, did we not kind of all start rooting for the Cavs in 2016? And that was before Kevin Durant.
When Golden State was close to the 73-9 mark, when they were chasing it, it seems like we were all kind of hoping they would get there. Or maybe not hoping they would get there, but I think most people wanted to see it. And that would have been right before Durant got there, you know, the season before. But then we started rooting for the Cavs. And maybe it was because they posted such a good regular season. I think that's the last time we rooted for Golden State.
So I don't know. Is it Kevin Durant's fault that we hate him then? Because in 2016, yes. Like they won 73 games. And, I mean, I remember rooting for the Thunder to beat them in the Western Conference Finals with Durant and Westbrook.
I was rooting for them to break the regular season win total. But by the time it came around that LeBron was playing against them with the Cavs, I was rooting for LeBron. But I didn't hate him. I was rooting for LeBron, but I didn't hate them. Durant, I think, made us hate them.
That's a good question. I'm not saying you're wrong. I feel like a lot of people hated Draymond, though. Like, that was the 2016 was a postseason of Draymond kicking people in the junk.
that probably started.
That was also them going for their second straight championship, and we always know that we'll give you one. We'll let you be lovable while you win one, but the moment you try to win a second one, that's when we are allowed to kind of start hating you and start rooting for the underdog again, right? Like, we'll give you one, and then all of a sudden, go away from here.
And if Draymond had never started kicking people in the junk, because that was when they were up 3-1, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When that happened.
Well, I mean, he'd been doing it all.
If he had never done that and hadn't missed time, he missed time.
Yeah.
They probably would have won that series, too.
Yeah, I mean, he had been doing it the entire postseason. That's why he got suspended for that one, because, like, he'd already had two warnings. He had kicked Steven Adams in the Thunder series and didn't get punished. And
but
then
the Cavs probably never come back if not for that.
Maybe. I mean, he was suspended for Game 6, right? Was he suspended Game 6? No, I guess it'd be Game 5. So, yeah, you're right. If they're up 3-1 playing at home in Game 5 with Draymond there, most likely they win that game.
That's how I remember it.
He was suspended Game 5, and LeBron and Kyrie went off. And you're like, okay, well, I guess that's because Draymond's out. And then Game 6, they went to Cleveland, and LeBron smacked them around. Like, they blew him out. And you had that clip of LeBron blocking Steph Curry on a layup and just staring him down like, come on. Come on, little man. You're not going to do this down here.
I miss that series.
And then Game 7. I mean, Game 7, Draymond was really the only one that showed up for Golden State. Like, if I remember correctly, Draymond dropped like 37 in Game 7.
Did he?
He was the only one that was really there. I mean, I think he was trying to overcompensate for missing Game 5. And I think a lot of people agree with you, Cody, in terms of just saying, hey, if you don't get suspended, you probably win that series in 5 games, right?
I mean, and that changes a lot of how we look at LeBron.
Sure. I mean, yeah, LeBron.
His final record's already poor, but if he had never gotten that one, be even worse.
Yeah, I mean, Game 7, yeah, Draymond was 11 of 15. He was 6 of 8 from 3, scored 32 points, grabbed 15 rebounds and 9 assists. Draymond balled out. It was Steph Curry who went 6 of 19 and Klay Thompson went 6 of 17. I mean, Harrison Barnes didn't do any favors by going 3 of 10. So, yeah, I mean, those three guys stuck. And that's what led to Draymond to call Kevin Durant crying after the game and ask him to come to Golden State. Draymond was probably like, man, I ain't got no help here. Like, Kevin, I need you to come here. I balled out. You saw what I did. I went 32, 15, and 9. These other bums combined for 31. I'd imagine Draymond was pretty insufferable after that game. Because they're all like, hey, man, you got suspended. He's like, hey, I outscored both of you in Game 7. Where were y'all at?
I mean, they needed him just as much in Game 5, though.
Sure.
That he needed them in Game 7.
I would say you need Game 7 more than Game 5.
Well,
up 3-1 versus winner take all.
I mean, if Steph just has an average day instead of a bad day.
Yeah, if Steph doesn't let Kevin Love lock him up.
Which is weird to think about.
That's what happened on the final possession, if you go back and watch it.
I remember. I was intently watching that series. It was a really good series.
Steph was dribbling head-to-head with Kevin Love. He couldn't get around him, and he couldn't get enough space to shoot a three. K-Love locked him down.
Talk about an underrated guy.
I mean, he might be, but that's what happens. And look, that might go to Kevin Durant's larger point about wanting to play with LeBron James. Like, Chris Bosh and Kevin Love probably could have been top 20 players of this generation. But instead, they're like, you're the third sidekick to LeBron.
I'm surprised Kevin Love hasn't dated a washed-up pop singer yet. He seems like the perfect boyfriend for a pop singer who was famous like 10 years ago and is now kind of washed up.
Is that just because you think he looks like Kevin Federline?
Maybe that's got something to do with it. In fact, that probably has a lot to do with it.
Okay.
Who is he dating? Do we know?
Kevin Love?
Yeah, does he have a woman? I mean, anyone would know?
Not that I know of. You think he is in line for someone like Ariana Grande? Should he holler at?
She's way too big for him.
Okay.
She's still
got to be washed up.
Yeah, she's still a worldwide phenomenon.
Well, who's a washed up late 20s, early 30s?
What about like Ashley Simpson? What is she doing now?
Kevin Love deserves better than Ashley Simpson, right?
How about Jessica Simpson? What's she up to?
Having babies, right?
She got.
I feel like she's always having babies.
I mean, I'm sure you can find some. Avril Lavigne, what's going on with her?
We think that
dating a Sports Illustrated.
Some people say Avril Lavigne died many years ago. People say that Avril Lavigne died many years ago.
She like just divorced Chad Kroeger like 2 years ago.
Who? Oh, that was her.
Avril Lavigne.
She dated Chad Kroeger?
They were married.
They're married.
Oh. Well, she'd be perfect for Kevin Love then.
I mean, Kevin's dating a.
Imagine dating Chad Kroeger.
Supermodel? Is she dating? Is Kevin Love dating a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model?
I think they were married for like 6 years.
Yeah, Avril died though, like what, 8-9 years ago? Basically, right after Skater Boy. Died.
She had some big songs after Skater Boy.
Yeah, they were a different sound. She went from the punk rock to, I'm going to do things a little differently around here.
Complicated. That was a good one. That was around the same time as Skater Boy, though. Girlfriend, you remember that one? I could be your girlfriend. My happy ending.
Yeah, that was Melissa. Melissa singing that one. Melissa was a girl who replaced her in 2003.
When You're Gone, I remember that one. That was a good song.
She was singing that one about Avril.
When you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Melissa?
The girl who replaced Avril Lavigne.
I don't think that's an accurate theory.
It's a theory.
They just picked some name for this girl that happened to replace Avril Lavigne.
Well, I mean, it had to be someone.
You probably believe Paul McCartney's dead, too, don't you?
I do believe Paul McCartney died. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And that Tupac's still alive?
No, Tupac's dead.
So is Elvis?
Nope, dead.
The people who believe Elvis is still alive, I think he'd be dead by now.
I think both of those people are dead.
Along with Paul McCartney.
I guess all four of them. I think all four of them are dead. Paul, Avril, Tupac, Elvis, all dead.
I can't wait for the Paul McCartney-Avril Lavigne collab. Just so we know, they're both alive.
They're different people, man. Melissa Vandella.
I don't think you believe that.
100%. Melissa Vandella?
Yeah.
You believe that Avril Lavigne is dead?
Yeah.
100%. And that this woman took over for her?
Yep.
Why?
Just because the sound of her music changed?
No, there's different things, too. There's different. I don't know if we have enough time to go through all this right now. We're up against the hour.
We still got 2 hours.
All you got to do is look at her, though, in the face.
That is all you have to do.
It's the same person.
Look at the eyes. The eyes are shaped differently. Just go look.
Well, maybe she had some work done.
To her eyes?
Maybe.
To her eyeballs?
Maybe she didn't like the way her eyes looked.
I don't have time to go into this whole thing now.
Maybe something happened to her face and she had to get some reconstructive surgery or something, you know? I mean, you never know. It doesn't mean she's a different person.
Did you think that it was a good flex by Kevin Durant or not? To say, I'm Kevin Durant.
No.
You know who I am, and then come out and drop 38 points.
I don't like Kevin Durant.
I don't like Kevin Durant either, but do we at least have to respect that? Because I respect it.
I don't respect it.
You see Kevin Love's girlfriend? Parker DM'd him to you.
Oh, I haven't looked yet.
It's going to change the way you think of Kevin Love.
He said she's a swimsuit model, right?
He's got a nice, attractive, wholesome woman.
An SI swimsuit model?
Good for Kevin. Big Kevin Love fan.
Was she in any of the like body painting issues, or was she just a regular swimsuit model? Is it even cool to be a swimsuit model anymore?
Instagram kind of trumped the swimsuit model, huh?
Yeah, like are people still looking at the SI swimsuit issue?
It's a good question.
I mean, I know the old guys living up in the mountains are, but, you know, like regular guys, I don't think anybody's looking at it anymore. I mean, that's so 2006.
Oh, okay.
I mean, either way, I'd still want to date an SI swimsuit model, I think, but.
They have to be mad about Instagram, though, right? I mean, and just like, you know, just the internet. The internet in general kind of trumped the swimsuit edition.
Did Instagram models take the place of swimsuit models?
I think so. Like online influencers? Like the Emily Ratajkowski girl's bigger than any swimsuit model now, right?
While also posting pictures in their swimsuits?
I mean, right? I mean, isn't she bigger than any swimsuit model? Is Kate Upton still bigger? I mean, I don't think of Kate Upton as a swimsuit model anymore. I think of her as Justin Verlander's. I think of her as Justin Verlander's girlfriend at this
Kate
point.
Kate Upton's overrated. Pretty overrated. I know it's not Wednesday, but
hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.